Bibles. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the little book of Jonah, sometimes it may not be easy to find when you're looking in there. But as we look at Wednesday in the Word tonight, Wednesday in the Word, lessons on obedience in the book of Jonah. And excuse me, I forgot to change the date on this one. This will be a typo, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm always good for one or two typos, and I'll catch it before anybody else does. And so this is September the 1st tonight, 2021. And so I thank God as we look at where Jonah was from, Gath-Hepher, which was right close in around in Judea. And so can you imagine all of the fresh air coming off of the Mediterranean down through in here? And here you got Mount Carmel, Nazareth here, Mount Tabor, and the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, Mount Meron. And so all of this, as we kind of get our place of knowing that this was where Jonah was from. Now, I thank God, as the Bible tells us only in 2 Kings, it tells us about the writing of Jonah and where he was. The tribal territory of Zebulun was where Jonah was from. Going back into your Bible, if you'll go and if you can find Obadiah, you go and you begin to look, and what you're going to see, you'll say the book of Daniel. And from the book of Daniel, you'll go from Daniel to Hosea. From Hosea Joel, and from Joel to Amos, and from Amos, you'll go right on into Obadiah. And after Obadiah, you'll find the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah. Once you go past Jonah, you'll find the book of Micah. If you went too far, back into Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, you need to take a left and go back. Once you pass Micah, you'll find Jonah. On the left will be Obadiah. That'll be the book of Jonah. Jonah means dove. And I thank God here tonight as we look and realize that here, we look at Gath-Hepher, which was 3 to 5 miles northeast of Nazareth in Galilee. And so as we look at the locations here, we remember the journey that's going to precede us that so many people have talked about. You've got, let me back it up just for a minute. You got Gath-Hepher here. You've got Jerusalem, Judah. Here is Joppa. Joppa is where everything is going to transcend from, because what happens? The word of God is sent to Jonah. But Jonah don't like the message. And so what happens? His message is, I want you to go to Assyria, all the way over to the Assyrians, to Nineveh, the capital city, and I want you to preach salvation to the Ninevites. But you see, that was a message that Jonah did not want to do. He was a preacher that refused to preach. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he comes down to Joppa, and he catches him a ship going all the way over to Spain, to Tarshish, to the southeast coast of Spain, which is Tarshish here. Only thing is, he never got that far. In the Mediterranean Sea, once he gets out, a ways out in this area, from off of the coastline in Israel, because Joppa is the coast of the port in Israel. And Joppa, as he takes off, it ain't far before he gets right out here that God begins to send a storm. And through that storm of rebellion, because every one of us have rebellion in us, that we want to rebel. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. I'm going to tell you, God called me to the pastor. Well, I'm over in Mexico. I got ladies that I ain't never saw before in my life. I'm over there, and these ladies, they say, I want to pray with you, preacher. I said, that sounds good. They tell me, hey, you know what? God's calling you to be a shepherd. Now, you think I knew what they meant? You better believe it. I knew exactly what they meant. I knew exactly. You know what? After 2 weeks later, when I got back from Mexico, you know what I did? I never went back over to the church. I ran because I was being called to be a pastor. I ran. And the deacons had to phone me and call me and say, look, we want to meet with you, preacher. You know, because I knew God was calling me. You see, that's one of those things that listen, when you've been called, you better never fake that. It better be God sent. And that's exactly, I knew it was. Because I got ladies over there that only one of them, when they prayed for me, could speak English. See, we had long days on the mission field. When you'd go that morning and you begin to work and do your labor, you know, we poured concrete and tied rebar in. We had an interpreter with a concrete truck. We poured concrete for the slab of the church. All during the day, we do that work. Then we go wash up, and then we would have a vacation Bible school in a different little city in Mexico every afternoon. After that, we got back home. We had another prayer meeting before we went to bed and turned in. And in that prayer meeting, those wonderful God-sent Spanish ladies that could pray and get a prayer through, and they knew what they were talking about. They called on me and they said, listen, can we pray for you and with you? And I said, you sure can. You see, the Holy Spirit spoke through them and began to get my attention. But did I listen? No, I ran. But boy, finally when I got back, I knew I couldn't run and keep running. And so here we know that Jonah, he kept on. He thought, I'm going to run. But God caused a storm to start right in here. And I'm going to tell you, when there's a storm, you're not always alone in that storm. There'll be somebody else caught up in that storm. These mariners got caught up in it. Boy, I thank God here in this lesson 3 of the 3rd verse, they call this in 3 downs and 2 overs. Because it mentions down 3 times in the scriptures of the book of Jonah. Down, down, down 3 different times. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us when we look. Well, excuse me, sometimes they call it the 5 downs and out. Because in verse 3 that we're going to get into in a minute, here Jonah went down from the presence of the Lord, because the Bible says that he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord in verse 3. And all of a sudden, that was your first down. Then he, believe it or not, he paid the fare. He went down to Joppa and paid the fare. Hallelujah. Then, I thank God the Bible says that he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish. I thank God not only did he do that, but one of the things that he did was he went down to Joppa. He went down from the presence of the Lord was the first thing that he did. The second down that he did is he went down to Joppa. He was running from the presence of the Lord, but you can't do that. And so I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us, each and every one of us have all kinds of problems that we'll go through in this walks of life. Amen. And so of all the things, he went down in his pretense in verse 5, because the Bible says that the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. And so we see the third down in pretense. We see the fourth down, there were problems, because not only was the problems there, but even when they got over into chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me around and about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountain, the earth with her bars was about me forever. And that's on into the second chapter. Hey, that's your third down. But I thank God, 3 downs and 2 outs, because boy, when he got humble with the Lord, he was able to get out of the fish. And I thank God, the second out was he took the out to go preach. 3 downs and 2 outs. Boy, I thank God, you know what? It's 3 strikes in baseball and you're out, amen. But I thank God, it almost sounds like football. 3 downs, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us. Tonight, we talk about a common rebellion. Every one of us has some rebellion in it. Jonah's rebellion to the call of God is a good picture of our rebellion to God's will. And so I thank God we see some things tonight that begins to deal with us. Because what did I put in your outline earlier today, this morning? I put a little bit of outline. And what did I talk about then? I told you that there is, first of all, a disobedience in rebellion. Because Jonah rose up to flee. And I thank God, the second rebellion was, there was a direction in that rebellion. Because he said, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going as far away. I'm going to Portugal. I'm going to Spain. I'm going as far away as I can go. Now, I tell you, each and every one of us, we can't outrun the calling that God has for us. I'm going to tell you, maybe you need to make things right with your brother and sister. Maybe whatever it is that you're running from, but you need to make things right. But I thank God, we see that third rebellion. It was the deity in that rebellion, because he was rebellion for the presence of the Lord. The omniscience of God means that there's no way Jonah could flee from God. And you cannot flee from God. You can't run away from what God's called you to do. You can keep on and keep on, thank God. Boy, I know a preacher right now just accepted a church that I believe for a fact's been running for a long time. He should have done been pastoring. But he finally got around to it. Man, thank God, brother. Amen. Thank God. Boy, I tell you. And then we begin to realize, and we saw the rebellion of the downwardness when he went down. The deception in his rebellion. In Joppa. And the ship. And the debt in his rebellion. Because he paid the fare. And Jonah paid more than the monetary fare for the trip, because he paid dearly for the rebellion to God. He did not make it to Tarshish, but he did drown, and he made it all the way down in the depths of Sheol, of almost like hell, because when he was in the belly of that fish, man, I tell you, what a great type of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That explains why the book of Jonah is so despised. Jonah paid much for his sin. Sin has a high price. And so I haven't even got into my message yet. But thank God, as we look and realize tonight, from verse 3, our lessons on obedience, amen. Because everywhere we go, amen, Jonah went down to Joppa running from God's will, amen. That was that common rebellion. He was running from God's will because of the pride and the disobedience. And everyone who is disobedient to the divine commission to go preach, they flee from the presence of the Lord. I know, I just shared my testimony with you. And so every one of us, Jonah went down into the ship with rebellion against God's word, because God's word was that you're to go preach the gospel to the Ninevites. I don't care if they're the meanest people in town. I don't care if they're the meanest nation on the earth. I don't care if they've done Israel wrong. I'm telling you, I'm God. And I'm telling you, Jonah, you need to go preach redemption. You need to go preach salvation to them. But Jonah did not want to do it. And so I tell you, Jonah went down to sleep and rejection. I tell you, the sleep shows the picture of unconcernedness of America today. And the spirit of contentment that's out there. The state of the last day church, Laodicea. Boy, I thank God today, as we look and realize tonight, that it seems that all of us, listen, this is what happens in America today. They ignore the sermon, and they wait for the sirens to go off. Ain't it a shame? They ignore the sermon that's being preached in America today. And then, listen, you know what? They just wait for the sirens to go off everywhere that's saying, warning, danger's coming, amen. And so man somehow thinks that he'll be able to be the exception to the rule. But God isn't really, listen, serious about his commands. Yes, he is. God is very serious about the commands, America. And I'm going to tell you, his lessons of obedience will be learned, praise God. And so sometimes God will let us go our way in order to teach us a lesson the hard way. And experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best. But experience is a very effective teacher. And so I thank God. God has created us with the ability to choose. While the choice is still ours, church. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The consequences of that choice is not. Because lessons are learned in the school of hard knocks. But there is often a steep price that becomes part of our permanent records, amen. And so here, God wants to help from our lesson tonight, every Christian understand rebellion as a part of an old sinful nature. And to cause every one of us to evaluate carefully every choice that has been set before all of us in America tonight. To enable all of us to realize that any choice that we make against God's plan, if we make a choice against God's plan, then it's always going to lead to ruin. It's going to lead to disaster. And so I challenge every one of you tonight as we look at just verse 3. Because what are we doing? We're not trying to hurry and get through the book of Jonah and read everything and teach. We're trying to teach a lesson on obedience tonight from the book of Jonah. And so we're taking a very, very slow step at a time, because there is so much to be learned from the preacher that didn't want to preach tonight. And so here, as we look and realize our lessons on obedience, about living in faith every day. That's life. That is life, is God's rescue for all of us. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize here tonight, each and every one of us, as we go through life and the things that we look at here, as we look at our outline in the book of Jonah tonight, we begin to see that there's some resignation in chapter 1, repentance in chapter 2, revival in chapter 3, and reaction in chapter 4, praise God, of all the things. One of the things that takes place is that we see here that Jonah and the sailors in chapter 1. Chapter 3, skipping from chapter 2 and going to chapter 3. Listen, Jonah and the Ninevites is what chapter 3 is going to talk about. I'm going to say this every time till I make sure, like them old-fashioned preachers that would always preach in threes, that I want to get this into your mind. The second chapter, Jonah's first prayer of repentance. And then the fourth chapter, we see that it's the second prayer of criticism to God's mercy, because God had mercy. And I thank God, ain't you glad that He had mercy? Ain't you glad He's the God of the second chance? Boy, I tell you, I didn't get on board the first time. Boy, I tell you, He knocked at my heart. It was a Sunday night service, but I should have went to the Sunday morning service altar. But I didn't go down there. Thank God that He come back and knocked at my heart Sunday night. And I tell you, when that Sunday night service rolled around, I was so miserable. Man, I think my fingernails was in the back of that pew. But boy, I tell you, I knew that I had better make a move that Sunday night in September of 1972. And when I did, I don't know if them other 11 kids, because they were my relatives, I don't know if they realized who went first. I don't guess it mattered. But I knew that I went to that altar, praise God. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, again, Gath Hepher, where Jonah's from. Then he was supposed to go to Nineveh. Here he went to Joppa on the port of Israel. And then he said, I'm going to Tarshish, all the way over on the southern coast of Spain. Portugal's up here. The Tyrrhenian Sea. Italy's right in here. Bulgaria, Greece, the Aegean Sea. Turkey's over in here. Kind of the Mediterranean Sea. But he never got that 2,500 miles. God says, I want you to go 550 miles northeast to preach the gospel to the Ninevites. But he never went. He never went over into Iraq to preach the gospel. He says, I'm going to run. I'm going to run. But I tell you, when the storm hit, right about in here somewheres, that the Bible begins to tell us about, he sent that storm, and the mariners were caught up in it. And they realized that even though they weren't God-fearing people, that they knew there was something wrong. There was some divine thing that was taking place. And Jonah was the one that said, hey, I'm the one. Throw me on over, because it's me. After they woke him up down in the ship, amen, they knew there was a problem. And so you can run, but you can't hide. I thank God. And that's why he says, I made haste. He tells us in Jonah chapter 4. Let me turn my Bible over here with you, read with you. And he says in verse 2, he says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Boy, I thank God. He tells us why he ran. Because, listen, that's what we do when we rebel and we don't want to do what God tells us to do. He was running from God. I thank God. Remember, Yom Kippur is going to be coming up September the 15th. It'll begin the Wednesday evening of the 15th. And go all the way to Thursday evening of September the 16th. Amen. The Day of Atonement. This is a special time. You say, I'm not Jewish. Oh, no, it don't matter. But you see, the calendar that we go by, even though that we go by it, God don't go by that calendar. God goes by the Hebrew calendar, because the Hebrew calendar has every one of the festivities of the year. And that is exactly what God goes by. Yes, you can keep on using your Julian calendar as you have for so long, but this calendar is the calendar that God's going to be going by. This will be the timetable, not ours. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize, as we read last time, that the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of a Mittite, saying, arise, go. I'm going to skip down, cry. That was the action words. Arise, go, cry. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Listen, he goes on. This is the highlight of tonight, of our lesson of obedience. Listen to this. He says, but Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. A fare that he never got to enjoy. And so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, can you imagine? I got a little old boy here with his little old teddy bear tied on his stick here. You know? I mean, I wonder how many folks have tried to run from God. They got their little stick on the back. Now, I know nobody sees that, but, you know, they trying to run from the calling of God. They got something going on in their life that they need to get straightened out, amen. But they're running right now. Whatever it is that they've got going on, you know. But I thank God, every one of us, we're all different. Every one of us are unique in our own ways, amen. But I thank God as we look tonight, we begin to realize that through all the things, one of the first things that we see tonight called to laborers is an attempt to flee. An attempt to flee. Because each and every one of us, in verse 3, he begins to tell us about a human inclination. No doubt we're all familiar with Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. And we notice what happened right after they sinned in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now I'm going to tell you, the first reaction of Adam and Eve was to run from the presence of God, is what I'm saying. And so here's that human inclination that every one of us have, that we want to just run. Man has been running from his sin ever since. They've been running, but listen, you can keep on running if you want to, but one of these days, it's going to catch up with you. And when it does, there's no other opportunity that you're going to have like the present. And so I thank God. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? You see, the psalmist asks a similar question. He finds the same answer in Psalms 139 and verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Listen to the reading of the Word of God that we're using from the lessons of obedience. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, listen, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, sometimes, you know, when we're young, like, I remember when I was just a teenager, you know, maybe I was just getting out of high school, graduating, you know, and we say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. While you may be legally on your own and you turn maybe a legal age, you can go where you can go. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you go some places where God's not. And sometimes in that city, in that state on which or whatever place that you go to be, the prodigal son, he left home and he went under the bright lights of sin. And in that far country, as he had ever been under the rules and regulations of his father's house, he forgot all about those things. Listen, if you're a teenager, if you're a youngster and you're out there saying, you know what? I've lived all my life to be saying, I'm out of here. Yeah, you might be out of here, but boy, do you got a lot to learn. Boy, if you didn't listen to the wisdom of your mother and your dad, you're going to learn something, all right, but you're going to learn it the hardest way ever possible. Because I thank God, we look and we realize that there's a hopeless impossibility that each and every one of us could go through. And so every one of us, sometimes you're going to learn it the hard way, no matter what. But I thank God as we continue on, as he tells us again, as Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We see that rebellion, that common rebellion that every one of us, this old fleshly nature, this sin that we deal with in America today, that we're going to take off and we're going to try to run from whatever it is. Maybe you're running from a marital problem. Maybe you're running from something. Maybe you're trying to run from a past life that you thought nobody knew nothing about. Hey, why don't you just put it under the blood of Jesus tonight? Why don't you just kneel down right now and make a commitment to Christ and turn away every bit of that rebellion that old sin is trying to make you continue to run. And you're running from a calling. You're running from something that God's wanting you to answer, but you're running from it tonight. And so that call of laborers tonight, the second thing that we want to talk about is not only an attempt to flee in verse 3, focusing on just verse 3 of lessons on obedience tonight. But I thank God we see an alternative that is found. Because one of the things that we see that in the middle of verse 3 we read, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Satan will make sure that there's always a ship going the opposite direction that you want to go. I'm going to tell you, he might find a plane ready to go the opposite direction. He might find a boat. He might find a helicopter, a bicycle, whatever. He's got some transportation that'll always take you in the opposite direction that you don't need to be going in, praise God. And he makes sure that there's a lot of choices besides that of obedience, amen. And so amazingly, we often find it something coincidental that there's an alternative to doing what's right, always in this world. We can even spiritualize and seemingly open the door that lies before us sometimes. The alternative that is found sometimes. Eve began to reason that this was a forbidden tree. And it was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. And the tree was to be desired and to make one wise. Satan's alternatives are always attractive. For it is his goal to be the perfect counterfeit for all of us of Christ. He wants to fool you. He wants to lie. I mean flat out lie to you and tell you what you want to hear and then deceive you. Paul warns us about Satan's tactics in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13, 14, and 15. He says, "For such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so we see the obstinate decision. The obstinate decision. Because when we make a decision that is in violation to God's will for our lives, as men and women, boys and girls, we're saying to God that we are the creatures are smarter than the Creator. That is exactly what we're doing when we're refusing and when we're rebelling to go in the direction that God wants us to go. What did Paul tell us out of the Thompson Chain, King James Version of the Romans 9, chapter 9, verse 20? He says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" Job offers a little bit of counsel and wiseness. He says in Job chapter 9, verses 2, 3, and 4, he says, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God if he will contend with him? He cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered." And so here we begin to realize that there's always an obstinate decision, but there's an opposite direction as well. And in verse 3, it says that he fled, Jonah did, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, any direction away from God's will. Any direction away from God's will is always down. It's always down. And by the way, once you head down, the trip up is a lot more difficult. Trying to get back up from down. Boy, I tell you, when you get flat on your back and you begin to look up and know that there's a God, then you've been somewheres. Through the school of hard knocks. Later in verse 3 it says that he went down into it. That was the ship. And by the time that we see him in verse 5, he's gone down into the sides of the ship. But once you start going down, there's a momentum. Boom. There's a momentum that is so difficult to reverse it. You're in a momentum going down, 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 and further. And that's how sin is. It took a very sick fish for Jonah to start heading back up. Boy, God knows how to pull the strings. God knows how to work the ropes, amen. And so as we move right on along, there's an attempt to flee. There's an alternative that is found. But lastly, as we move on again, let me pause again as I let you see verse 3 again. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare there, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now listen, the third thing that we see of the laborers is there's an agreement on the fare. There's an agreement on the fare because every decision has a price, and every decision has a purchase order. I thank God, looking first, is that Jonah found an alternative. The devil always makes sure that there's a ship in the port that's headed the opposite direction of God's will for your life. And in verse 3, so he paid the fare thereof. And amazingly, none of us want to pay the wages of sin, but we're willing to pay the wages of sin because we don't like it when the preacher tells us that there's a cost to serving God with our lives. But we're willing to pay the cost to run from the service. Ain't it something? And so every decision has a price. By the time that we get to 2 Samuel 24, David paid a great price for his sin. Because every time that he had disobeyed God, it had cost him dearly. A little 7-day-old baby had died. Uriah the Hittite had died. David's sons had died. And now because he had numbered the people, 70,000 of his men had died. 2 Samuel 24:15. There's a pretty hefty fare for sin, you know. Boy, I tell you, he had had some time. God instructs David through God to build an altar and offer a sacrifice to the Lord at the threshing floor of Arnon, of the Jebusite. And so here, he's willing to give David the threshing floor along with the oxen and the instruments. But by this time, David has learned that every decision, both good and bad, has a price. And in verse 24 of 2 Samuel 24, the Bible says, "And the king said unto Arnon, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. We all know that there's a price to be paid for sin. And that price often looks like a good deal. But the product that we receive is death. Every one of us, when we go through life, purchase orders are essential. If anybody's going to be able, any business, any organization, is to stay within the budget and the restrictions of that job. They enable us to make wise decisions with respect to the money that we have or don't have. And so it's interesting that God has made human beings with the ability to delay decision. Animals don't have this same capability. They simply react to the stimulus. That's why a dog may bite his owner, because he does not possess this ability to think through a decision before it's made. Temptation is a part of every person's life. Jesus was tempted at all points, as we are, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and yet without sin. And so I thank God, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. The next time that you're tempted to live contrary to God's direction, before you pay the fare, stop. Think for just a minute that you're about to sign a purchase order for a product. What kind of product do you want? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Either way, you're going to pay. Make sure your decision is worth the price. Jonah initially ran from his call, and as a result, he spent 3 days in a big fish before God got his attention. And Jonah finally decided to obey him. I thank God. What does this reveal to us tonight out of these? The application. When we see verse 3 of all that we've read tonight, the running from God. We see that. 7 life lessons when we run from God. Because, number 1, running from God may indicate bitterness or unforgiveness toward another sometimes. Jonah ran from God because he hated Israel's arch enemy, the Assyrians, where Nineveh was located. He couldn't stomach their asking forgiveness from God and potentially receiving it. And so here was one of the things. He was bitter toward them. He didn't want to see the mercy and the graces of God come forth. He didn't want that to happen. And so it's sad that we see this happen. But each and every one of us, we see the second thing, the life lesson when we run from God. You can run from God, but you can't hide from Him. I don't care where you run to. Jonah thought that he'd get as far as from Israel as possible. And what did I say? 2,500 miles to Tarshish over in Portugal and Spain. But he never got that far. And I tell you, by taking a boat and fleeing them 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. But even though Jonah knew that God was all-knowing, he still tried to hide on a trip in a boat. And when Jonah bought a one-way ticket to Spain, God could have written him off and chosen someone else to preach to the Ninevites. but he didn't. He pursued Jonah. Ain't you glad that God pursues you? Because you're the one that will get the greatest blessing if you'll just listen to the calling of God instead of rebellion. And so I thank God. The third thing that we see out of the seven life lessons, God never gives up on you. Ain't you glad that God doesn't give up on you? Boy, I thank God he does it. He don't never give up on not a one of us. I thank God. But also we see in verse number four, God allows the storms of life for our benefits. Because God sent the storm not to punish Jonah, but as an intervention. And I thank God Jonah needed to be saved from himself. And the storm and the fish that swallowed him were God's tools for Jonah's benefit. And so I thank God the life lessons that we run from God. We see the fifth thing. When you run, others often get hurt. And so we look and we realize that when you run and others often get hurt. When Jonah was on that boat, the boat and every innocent sailor was in danger of losing their own life because of Jonah's disobedience. And although we may think that we can sin and nobody else will ever get hurt, inevitably somebody else always gets hurt. We never truly disobey God in isolation. Somebody else is always called in all of the disaster of that sin that you're involved in that's going on in your life. It may tear up an entire family. It may tear a marriage up. It may tear up and bust your family up, and it may have the hardest time trying to recover. But listen, you need to trust God and quit rebellion and get back. You need to try to save that marriage. You need to try to save your ministry. You need to try to get your testimony back. And don't let the enemy take it away from you tonight. And six, the longer that you run from God, the worse that the storm will get. And I thank God, as the storm arose, the men cast lots. In an ancient way to divine God's will to determine who was causing God's angerness and who caused this storm, the lots fell to Jonah as the source. He could have repented and then, but he didn't. The storm got worse and worse, and often when we run from God, we dig a little deeper and a little deeper in the hole. And lastly, the seventh of the seven life lessons that we run from God, your sin can never outstrip God's grace. I don't care what it is that you've done, what kind of sin, whether you think it's the worst sin that's ever been committed ever in your life. Although not every time we sin does God still offer us the same opportunities. But in this case, God kept pursuing Jonah. And he sent the storm, and he sent the big fish, and Jonah survived them both. And the rest of the book describes many other examples that when God extended grace to Jonah, just like he wants to do to you tonight, sinner friend, just like he wants to extend it to you tonight, Christian brother and sister, listen, we can never sin and disobey and run from God so far that his grace can't find, forgive, and restore if we're willing. What other lessons have you seen in yourself and others who run from God tonight? Boy, I tell you, we can learn a lot. But I hope as I close out tonight that you have learned something from Jonah tonight and Wednesdays in the word of lessons on obedience. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons of obedience. And Lord, we thank you that you're trying through this lesson to get somebody's attention tonight. Somebody that has got so far out in sin, they've got so far away from their relationship with you. They ain't been back. They ain't prayed. They haven't picked up their Bible in so long. But Lord, your mercy and your grace, you're the God of the second, the third, the fourth chance. Father, I pray, Lord, that you bring a convicting power upon that lost person tonight as well and save them and bring them into the family of God. Bring that Christian brother and sister that's got so far out there. Lord, they went down. They're going deeper, down, deeper into sin, down. But God, you can get them out. And you can bring them up. Because your grace and your mercy, that's who you are. And you want to see us back in relationship with you. Because that's how much you love us. And that's what you gave your life for on the cross of Calvary for all of us. Lord, I don't deserve your mercy and grace. None of us do. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for doing for us what no one else would ever do for us and saving us. And, Lord, taking our place, a debt that we could never pay ourselves. Jonah, tonight, a common rebellion. Thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for tuning us in. I hope you got something from this tonight. Keep looking up. And remember, you can preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. God bless you tonight.